last speaker today is Ketki Patel. She is now with the Environmental Injury Epidemiology and Toxicology Unit within the Texas Department of State Health and Health Services, where she's a senior epidemiologist. She formerly worked with the Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services as a research assistant with the NIOSH Center for Agricultural Safety and Health out of Omaha, Nebraska. And she's going to be talking about evaluating state-based occupational health surveillance as a system using a unique framework.
Thank you, John. I thought we were just going to keep it short. Okay, so being the last presentation of the day, I'm going to make it very, very succinct. And, you know, we have a roundtable following this, which is also following in the same line. So if you have more questions or you want more discussion, we can do it there. And this is definitely the work that I and my colleague, Derry Stower at Nebraska, we did that. And the reason this project actually stemmed is I was looking at the National Agricultural Injury Surveillance Systems and evaluating them for my dissertation purpose. That's how Derry knew that I could do this something for a state-built surveillance health system. And so that's how we conceptualized the project. Here's our disclaimer. As we all know, Nebraska Occupational Safety Health Program is funded through NIOSH, through a cooperative agreement. And I probably think I don't need to give any introduction because we just saw the same slide in Bob's presentation. And we all know that, you know, whether fundamental or expanded states, the most common thing that all of us have been doing is collecting all these data from multiple data sources so that we can calculate occupational health indicators and then provide it to NIOSH. So that is primarily the core surveillance activities that all states are kind of required to do if you're funded through the NIOSH Cooperative Agreement. Nebraska Occupational Health Surveillance Program, I'll call it NEHOS going forward, has been doing the same thing and has funding since 2010. And so when I joined the Nebraska Occupational Health Program, it was closing towards the fifth year, so it was almost like ending out the first cycle. And as all other Fundamental Plus programs, they have been conducting surveillance activities of diverse range and then identifying trends, understanding risk factors, and so forth. So what actually triggered this evaluation so that we get money? No, actually, no. We do want money, but no, that was not actually the reason for that. In part, if you read carefully, it requires that an applicant organization is expected to perform basic or targeted program evaluations. And it's kind of general for any grants that we all apply for, whether it's a program grant or a research grant. But, you know, often by the end of the grant cycle, we are all too tortured and, you know, a lot of things happen by the end of the grant cycle. And so we run out of time to conduct a special evaluation for the project or for the program. So, smart enough, Nebraska included that as one of the specific aims. Haha, so we had to do it. And also partly because between 2013 and 2016, Nebraska came up with a strategic health plan, and one of the core objectives was to have trustworthy publicly available data, which included an objective of improving current public health data that was available, that it should be of high quality. And how could we do that? Is the first step to do that was to evaluate each surveillance system in-house to enhance the data quality and its efficiency. So why evaluate a surveillance system? We all know that, you know, no system is ever perfect and it has its own challenges and, you know, importance at the same time. So our intention was, like, how are these data being used for action? We all have been collecting all these data for OHIs, but we exactly don't know how it's being put to use. And we all also know that because these data are coming from different sources, we really don't know how these integrate well with each other. At the same time, not all systems were created equally. Like, for example, the Survey of Occupational Injury and Illnesses, which we call as SOI or CFOI, that is the Census of Fatal Occupational Injuries, these are designed for surveillance activities. But a lot of our occupational health indicators are calculated even using the hospitalization data or workers' comp, which are administrative databases and that are not designed for surveillance purpose. So we actually wanted to see and compare, you know, how these data systems are, and are they fit enough or sufficient enough so that we can conduct robust surveillance activities in Nebraska. So our first kind of question that we were brainstorming for at least like a month and two at the beginning of this project was, are we going to evaluate this as a program or as a system? Because that's how all state-based health surveillance kind of activities are not. The grant itself doesn't say it's a system, but that's what eventually we all end up doing is surveillance. But then because our goal was to look at all data systems, we decided that we are going to take the route of evaluating the NEHOS program as a system and then try to evaluate the data system which it relies on so that we can make improvements at that end. So our objective was to evaluate and compare key system-level attributes of important surveillance data sources. The word important surveillance data sources has been mentioned here for the reason because we know there are more than 10 different surveillance data sources that we all use for different kinds of OH surveillance activities in our respective states. And so, you know, it's not feasible to evaluate all 10 of them. So we selected, you know, the most critical ones that have been used on and off for routine activities. And then also determine the usefulness, strengths, limitations for each of these data sources to conduct surveillance activities in Nebraska. So we identified four major data sources, CFOI, that is the Census of Fatal Occupational Injuries, the SOI, the Nebraska Workers' Compensation Court claims, which I'll be calling it as WCC claims data going forward, and then the Nebraska Hospital Discharge Database. Because we were evaluating it as a surveillance system, we decided to use the CDC's framework for evaluating public health surveillance systems, and I'll go a little later in the presentation as to challenges that we can, you know, met with because we were using this kind of framework. So as the first step of an evaluation, we had to engage stakeholders. It couldn't be just me and Derry going, hey, this is the data, okay, this is good, this is bad. No, that wouldn't work. So we had our OHS entire program staff on board. We also involved all of the other epidemiologists and informatics unit in-house. Our state epidemiologist was actively involved in providing his input at every stage of the evaluation and even reviewing our work from time to time. We also had a lot of support from our data managers. For example, we all know that we collect the SOI data, the CFOI data, the workers' comp data from all of these respective individuals who are not in-house. And so we had a lot of cooperation from their end. Like anytime I had questions, doing key informant interviews, they were all up for it and expressed quite a bit of enthusiasm. So that was kind of a little surprise for me. The next step was to describe each surveillance system. We all know that we have a general idea of how each surveillance system is. But I think, you know, for a state-based surveillance program, it would be more efficient if we had, like, a small data book which described each surveillance system and its parameters. So here is a list of parameters that we collected information on. As you can see, the entire list, it was pretty much exhaustive, so I had to go through this list for each four systems that we evaluated. So I created, like, a table shell, and whatever information was retrieved, it was put into the table shell. And then we wanted to focus on the evaluation design. Because of time constraint and the resources available, we decided that, number one, to meet our objective and to, you know, be respectful of the time, we are going to design a brief process evaluation. For those of you who are not, you know, evaluators, process evaluation examines the system's operation at each stage, such as from whom it collects the data, how, what information is shared with the public, et cetera. As per CDC's guidelines, currently there are 10 different system-level attributes that you could evaluate for a public health surveillance system. However, because it was a brief evaluation, we decided to include only 7 of those, which includes simplicity, flexibility, data quality, acceptability, representativeness, timeliness, and usefulness. And I'll go a little bit in detail in forthcoming slides. How did we collect all the data? So what we did is, for each of these four systems, I reviewed all of the published reports, any kind of data manuals that they had. We also conducted key informant interviews, any other publications or published papers, particularly for SOI and CFOI data, and so forth. So that was one of the process of collecting all the information for this evaluation. And for analysis purposes, a lot of times we all know this is where the uniqueness comes for this evaluation. The CDC's evaluation guideline is pretty much subjective in nature. So if you were to compare 4 or 5 different data systems, there is no way of scoring it because it's pretty much subjective. So one interesting thing that I found during my literature review is Oregon's asthma program back in 2009 conducted an evaluation, and then they reevaluated the system again in 2014, and they had developed this scoring mechanisms for each of these system-level attributes that CDC has. So we kind of piggybacked on that, and what we did is we ranked each score from the scale 1 to 5, 1 being very low, and I love emojis, so that's the reason I have those faces in there. So 1 was very low, 2 was low, 3 was an acceptable quality of a system or an attribute, 4 was high, and 5 being very high. And then at the last, because we wanted to compare all the surveillance systems together, we calculated an average score which was assigned to each of the systems. So I'll just give you a brief summary of results, and if you're interested, I can share the detailed tables, because it was not going to be timely if I incorporated all of those, I don't know, 15 tables. So here is a sample of how a scoring attribute sample table looked like. And this one is for the Nebraska's hospital discharge data. As you can see, the top one, that's the acceptability. That asked, like, how was the individual or the reporting facility or agency's participation? So there are currently 104 acute care medical facilities in Nebraska that provide data. 92 out of it. So we have about 88% participation rate, so not 100%. So that got a score of like acceptable one. We would want all of them, but we're working with what it is right now. Data quality, were any internal studies or data checks being done in-house by all of these hospital data systems? No, they were not being done. And so in Nebraska, how the data we retrieve, the hospitalization data, is like all hospitals, they submit their data to the Nebraska Hospital Association, and then we, the state health department, purchases annually that data from the Nebraska Hospital Association. So even the NHA or the Nebraska Hospital Association doesn't do any form of data check or anything. All they do is they just act as a vendor. And then flexibility, how these systems responded to new demand. As we all know, you know, what a big of a pain it is to just include the industry and occupation variable. So that itself speaks, you know, loudly that, hey, that system is not very flexible at all. And, you know, if you wanted to get any changes done in a timely fashion, that's not going to happen. So that was an issue that we found out. And then representativeness, it asked about were any studies done to determine if the data provided accurately describes the, you know, health event over time as well as its distribution in the population. No, that had never been done in the past. And so it was like a frowny face. And we all know that not all work-related injuries or illnesses end up in a hospital database system in the first place. About simplicity, how is the case ascertainment? No information much available. All of those industry and occupation data fields are present, but they are completely blank. So obviously it got a frowny face. Timeliness, how timely is the data? Well, about timeliness, we'll talk a little later because I have a critique on that component. Usefulness of this data system. Now, because currently we are just using that data source for OHIs, that's the only thing that the hospital data has been used for. But beyond that, even if we wanted to use, we exactly don't know what parameters we can use within that database so that we can identify work-related cases. So that's a pretty long road of work ahead for all of us, I guess. And then so to summarize, when we looked at the average scores, this is how it looked like. So HDD felt like, you know, the least, you know, quality system for OHI surveillance in Nebraska just because the way the data fields were populated or the timeliness of it and so forth. Soy was somewhat okay, was an acceptable quality just because that is the existing surveillance system where we all rely on for non-fatal injury and illness data. However, for soy and CFOI, I guess the major challenges that all at states, I guess we all confront, is we don't get access to record level data. We always have only, you know, aggregate data, and there's only so much that you can do with it. Also, we all know the issues of underreporting with soy, and hence, you know, we get that score between lower end of acceptable quality as a system. Workers' comp and CFOI, fairly good system. I guess workers' comp scored high because of the timeliness, because we receive almost real time. So every week we receive reports from workers' compensation, and it has pretty good acceptable quality data in our workers' comp system. So that is something that we have not been looking at in the past, but that's a data source that we might want to explore more going forward. About CFOI, yes, we all know because it's a census, it's one of the most representative systems that we have, at least when you compare all four of them. And also, the data quality is relatively higher than all other three systems in there because there is multiple verification steps that goes on, and then, it's relatively even flexible and has been updated quite a few times to keep up with all the changing standards and classification codes. However, we also have, limitations of this evaluation because, as I mentioned, we used the framework, which is subjective in nature. So, even if you wanted to evaluate every single attribute, that's not going to be feasible. Another issue of using the CDC's framework for evaluating occupational health systems is like all of these data sources, they're not collecting only injury or illness data. They are collecting a mix of everything. And so that's a challenge because when this evaluation framework was designed, it was mainly for all infectious disease origin. So if I'm evaluating timeliness and the key question that it has that I need to answer that, and for data sources like HD, SOI, or CFOI, anything occurring of infectious diseases, I get the information after 1 year later. So even if there was an outbreak, we couldn't detect or do anything about it. So those are some of the nuances of using that framework. And besides that, we are not ending our work here. Our current takeaway lessons were, yes, time commitment is necessary, even though it was brief. Initially, we thought we could wrap it up in 3 months. No, it went beyond 6 months. Breaking down evaluation into four data sources was useful. Scoring allowed us to compare each of these data sources with each other. And so next steps is currently our data managers, as well as in-house, is reviewing this report before we can finalize and put it out for public. That is one more thing that I found out is like every time we ask, okay, we evaluated, what next? Are we done? Are we ever going to take a look at it again? I would say yes and not wait until the end of next grant cycle and start planning out for it right ahead because I know how much of a trouble it was for both me and Derry in, terms of like doing evaluation at the same time doing all of the other surveillance activities that we are supposed to do as a state-based program. That was one of the takeaway messages that I'd like to have. And I definitely want to acknowledge our University of Nebraska-Lincoln team who developed like a brief protocol that we kind of resorted to as well. All our data providers and obviously Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services. That was my first job in a state health department. So yes, thank you guys. Questions, you can pose them now or you can send it to me and Derry. Both of our contact details are here. Great question. And so because I was running out of time, I didn't mention about that. So all of the scoring systems, as well as every information and tables that we had prepared, everything is supposed to be sent back to the data providers and managers so they can take a look at it and then arrive at consensus before we finalize the report for publication. And Derry can probably add to that. Yeah, from the journal reviews, that's what I got.
They're just subjective, and so So this is our attempt at because the evaluation, the CDC's guidelines actually don't have any rankings or any sort of numbers so this is our attempt to try to get it to some sort of objective way to do that.
And I appreciate what you've done for sure, because I think it's something we all grapple with, how to evaluate our system / programs.
And something similar in this lines, because I said that this was like a piggyback project for me, because I was already working on my dissertation, something in the same line, and that is already out. Next month it's going to be out, so you can take a look at that until our report is out.
I think there's real value, though, in maintaining those different granular levels of...
Actually, as the snapshot I showed, that's still edited to like 80%. So if you take a look at the entire table, it's like 4 pages long for each single system.
I'm just thinking of the usefulness.
Yeah.
That's, I think, one of the things we all sort of listen most.
Yeah.
That's useful to you as a program, yes. But useful
to the public,
impact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to say something on that? Because we had been going back and forth in terms of scoring each of these attributes, because we weren't happy either with the flexibility. And just so to speak, none of our systems are interoperable. So if you wanted to do any kind of linkages, you all know, some of you have been trying to work with workers' comp and hospital discharge databases and trying to link those. We all know they're so not talking to each other. And even if you were to incorporate new data variables, it takes forever to do that process. So, yeah.